Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Okay. Before you take and open up your, take out your outlines, who can tell me where we're at today? Besides church. Okay. Let me rephrase that. For the message on our series that we're in, where are we at on it? Who? Psalm 45. Okay. All right. Well, actually, I was going to talk about a little bit about that. Okay. So, yeah, we're on peace today, being a peacemaker, right? Okay. So, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew 5. And we're going to look at verse 9 today. And the question is, are you or are we a peacemaker? Okay. So, if you would, I know it's going to be real quick, but please stand as I reread the scripture for us today, if you're able to. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called what? Children of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessing that you've brought us together as a church family to worship you, to sing songs to you, to give to you. Give to you in our offering and give you ourselves in just serving you. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit is here with us today. We ask that you help us to have those open eyes and ears and open hearts to what you have for us today as you speak to us. We pray this together. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Disagreements. Anybody ever have them? Feuds. Has anybody ever had them? Suspicions about somebody. Have you ever had them? You know, it seems like those are more and more the norm for day to day. More and more the norm for a society than just, you know, a once in a while type thing. For instance, how many times have we had somebody do something nice for us? Okay, and we were thankful, but yet then on the other hand, we said, maybe in the back of our minds, what are they up to? What do they want? How many times has your child come up to you and given you a hug just because, and you're thinking, what do you want? Okay? How many times has your wife come up to you and done something nice and you don't reciprocate in the right way or whatever, and you just think, okay, what does she want? Wives, we know we do it all the time, okay, as husbands. But we have suspicions sometimes about people. We have feuds. We have the things that take place. Sometimes even, let's say, the daily routine of life, especially that somebody going through a trial, whether it be a relationship trial or a health issue or whatever, and you know they're just having a horrible week, just things are not going right, just a horrible deal, and just something just sets them off or just rubs them the wrong way and they accidentally bark out at somebody. And then there's people that's like an all-the-time type situation. Jesus promises joys and blessings, but is life hard? Is life hard? Does Jesus bring peace? What does that mean? Don't have to answer it out loud, but just think to yourself. What does it mean for Jesus to bring peace? And why does he call us to be peacemakers? In the 27 books of the New Testament, the word peace is found, depending on the version, a total of 88 times. In Luke, the story of Jesus begins with glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Who said that? The angel, okay, there you go. The angel, when he was announcing to the shepherds. The night Jesus gathered with his disciples in that upper room to celebrate the Passover, Jesus told them, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Okay? The Apostle Paul, in each of his letters or his epistles, had that familiar greeting, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father." Some way, every letter that Paul opened with, it says those words in some way, maybe not right off the bat, but it has that in the opening. Now, those words from Paul, the angels, and especially Jesus himself, about peace, tell us that being a peacemaker, the peace that maybe that Jesus is talking about, isn't necessarily, a lot of times, what we think about peace, especially a worldly type peace. Who would love it today if there was never any more wars or anything anymore? Okay? Who would love it if we never had any type of quarrels or anything like that? Okay? Does it happen? And yet Jesus says, I give you peace. Do Christians sometimes quarrel or argue or have difference of opinions or whatever? Sure, it happens. So what's the difference? What is Jesus, or what's the peace that Jesus is talking about that he says he gives us? In the back of your minds, as we're going through our message today, I want us to keep this in mind. The peace that Jesus is talking about has to be first before there can be any other type of peace that we want. If we want peace, you know, in our nation, if we want peace in our world, then we have to understand what the peace of Christ is all about. And the peace of Christ is knowing who we are in him. When we come to him and ask for salvation, when we come to him and put our faith in him, we have that as what we're going to be talking about here in a minute, about reconciliation with Christ. The peace of knowing that we have been forgiven. And then we are to take and share that with who? Others. So it's not just about, you know, trying to fix or bring about a peace between somebody that's arguing with somebody else. It's about bringing people and showing them the true peace of Christ. Somebody who goes and tells people about the love of Christ. That is a peacemaker. Because without that peace, there will always be conflict. We're talking about, you know, this side of eternity, we're going to have trials, we're going to have struggles. But we have Christ with us. Jesus challenges us there in our Beatitudes for today, to become peacemaker. So that's what we need to understand, though, is what it is to be a peacemaker. And have to understand that we actually have to do some things in order to be a peacemaker, or be considered a peacemaker. And it is a right reserved for certain people. And that's what we're going to look at first. The privilege of peacemaking. The privilege of peacemaking, or the privilege given to us to be a peacemaker. This beatitude is built on the preceding beatitudes. You know, there's a reason why things in Scripture are put in order the way they are. Especially when Jesus gave his message there on the Sermon on the Mount. Who was the message directed to? Say it out. All right, his followers, the disciples and others were in that area, but especially his followers. We are not privileged to become peacemakers until we become, what was the first beatitude? Poor in spirit, right? We were told we had need to be poor in spirit, correct? We have to recognize who we are without Christ and have to, when we come to him. Until we mourn over sin, what does it mean to mourn over sin? It's more than just saying, I'm sorry. It's about letting and actually being sorry for it and having, you know, and coming to Christ and trying to change our life. To become, to have self-control, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to show mercy, and to become pure in heart. All those beatitudes all precede this one. And there's a certain reason. Jesus is telling his disciples and telling us today that if we truly want to be a peacemaker, we got to look where we are at on those preceding beatitudes. And put them as part of our, make them part of our life before we can become a true peacemaker. Okay? The privilege of peacemaking is the privilege of those who are at peace with God. Those who are at peace with God. Now, how do we become or get peace with God? Some would say, okay, it's when we come to Christ and ask Him for salvation. That's where it starts. Can a person who's asked for salvation, who's truly come to Him and that, still be, I don't want to say not at peace, but have some uncertainty in their life and their relationship with Christ? Sure. The fact that we need to make peace with God does not mean that God is angry with us or that He's unwilling to communicate with us. What causes that division between us and God? Sin. Okay? Excuse me. That is what causes the alienation, the sin, our disobedience. And being a peacemaker is recognizing the fact that when we, especially when we look at these previous Beatitudes, making those part of our life first, in order to gain that peace of walking with Christ and then showing it to others. Many times when people are sick or facing death, they will be asked if they are at peace with God, meaning have they accepted Jesus as Savior. But as believers, having peace with God means salvation is just the beginning of establishing or building that peace. We are called to strive for holiness. And that's what we've been talking about on Wednesday nights the past few weeks. We could touch on it a little bit on Friday night for the adult group. But we are to strive for holiness in our spiritual walk with Christ. You see, we can ask, we can have come to Christ and ask for forgiveness and be sincere about that. And some people think it's, as you mentioned it in Sunday school, a one and done type situation. And they never take the opportunity to build in that relationship. Now, it's not my job to say if they're saved or not. That's between them and Christ. But I can say for those that feel like that, they will never truly experience the true peace of walking daily with Christ. They'll never experience, as long as they keep on that type of situation, will not experience what it means to have true peace of striving for holiness. Now, we can't do it on our own. Even after we become Christians, we mess up. We are to strive to stay away from sin. Okay? So I'm not saying, you know, just to do whatever. In fact, I'm saying just the opposite. Having Christ as our Savior, you know, we make that comment, saved by grace, and too many times we use that as an excuse. Well, I'm saved by sin, by grace, excuse me, saved by sin. Saved by grace, I can just live however, and that is not what saved by grace means. Saved by grace means, okay, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. He's paid the penalty for me. Now I want to live my life the way He wants me to live it. The way He's called us as His followers to live it. It means that there has to be a change in order to have that relationship as we strive in holiness or for holiness. The privilege of peacemaking is a privilege of those who are at peace with others. Sometimes this is easier said than done. And it's just truthfulness. Matthew 5, 23 and 24 says, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and reconcile to them. Then come and offer your gift. I shared with you that Lori and I, we like to watch like 48 Hours and Dateline, just stuff like that. We watch other shows too. It's not just about, you know, things like that. There was one show we were watching one time about two neighbors, okay, who didn't, to say the least, get along very well. Okay? And it doesn't matter if they're male or female, but it was girls, by the way. Okay? But two neighbors that did not get along whatsoever. And this feuding started going back and forth and blah, blah, blah. And they do different things to the other one's house and just, you know, whatever. And the cops were there all the time. Finally, the cops convinced them, okay, can you guys just simply ignore each other? Nobody's going to move, obviously. You're going to have this feuding going. Will you just simply ignore each other? You know, if one's outside, don't go outside while the other one's there. Just stay apart and let things cool down. And for a while, it worked. There was some sort of peace going on. But it also was also building up. Eventually, a thing that took something that took place was an argument broke out. A person got shot that never even had anything to do with the situation. Now, was there ever actually any peace? Even though they stopped the arguing for a time, there was never actually any peace because nobody did what? Reconciled with each other. Nobody would go up and say, hey, I'm sorry, talk things over, or whatever. They just simply tried to ignore each other, and it didn't work. It's the same thing that we are called to do. We are called to reconcile with people. Now, there's times people don't want to reconcile with us. But if we've done our part and continuing to do our part in praying for them, we're going to have peace, at least with Christ, to know that we're doing our part. We are to be called to if you look at those verses, it says there, if you recall that somebody has something against you, it doesn't say they're right. It says, if you recall that they have something against you, go try to figure it out before you do what? Leave your offering there at the altar. Now, if you've done your part, that's one thing. But try to make peace with people. Peacemakers reach out. They take the initiative. Their concern is not who's to blame or who started what, but how to reconcile and attain the peace. Peacemakers are not fault finders. They are healers. Peacemakers show Christ. That's what we are called to do. The privilege of peacemaking is the privilege of those who are at peace with themselves. With themselves. When I was a kid, I had a paper route. Now, for those who are younger, a paper route, I'm trying to explain to the younger kids, a paper route was when you actually had somebody bring the paper to your door, especially if you lived in town. Okay? It wasn't that it got mailed to you. Anybody else have a paper route? Okay? Knows what I'm talking about. Okay? There's a gentleman on my paper route, to say the least, was an ornery old guy. Okay? Now, I don't mean to talk bad about him, but he was just simply one of those people that was never happy. I could take and put a rose around his paper, and he would talk about the thorns that was on that rose. Okay? It's just the way he was. One day I delivered his paper to him, and he got to talking about some things that he was going through in life. Now, again, at this point in time, I'm 12, 13 years old, I think, when this was all happening. So, when he was telling me about it, to tell you the truth, I really didn't give it too much thought. Okay, being 12, 13 year old. Later on in life, I got to thinking about this guy. And I'm thinking, you know, this guy was actually going through a lot and trying to understand him on why he was going through stuff. And I thought he was never really truly at peace with himself. That's why he was so ornery to everybody. In different times of talking with him, I realized that he never liked himself. And we have to understand that when we come to Christ, Christ is within us. And not only can we have peace with Christ, we can have peace with ourselves. What is the number one reason why somebody will not have peace within themselves, about themselves? Because we keep on looking back at the past. Now, we can look back at the past and learn from it. But once we have Christ as our Savior, we can look back at the past. Yeah, I used to do that. I've done that. But Christ has forgiven me. I can quit beating myself up over it. Now, I can still learn from it, what not to do. I can help people by looking at their life and helping them not to do the stupid things I did. That's one of the things that drove me into youth ministry. I looked back at some of the things I said, man, I would love it if I could even just one youth convince them not to do those things that I did. But it's when we keep on beating ourselves up over dragging back and just regretting and regretting and regretting and forgetting that Christ has saved us. He has redeemed us. And we can look back and regret, but we don't have to beat ourselves up. Because Christ has said what? I don't know what you're talking about. If we keep on going to Christ and say, Christ, Jesus, I'm sorry for what I did 2 weeks ago, and we've already asked him for forgiveness, Christ is just going to say, what are you talking about? I have forgotten. As far as what is from the what? This is from the West. He's forgotten about it. So we have to understand that we can have peace with ourselves because of our relationship or in our relationship with Christ. The purpose of peacemaking. The Apostle Paul saw reconciliation as the purpose of the ministry of both Christ and for Christians. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19 says, all this is from God, who reconciled himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he committed to us the message of reconciliation. Who started the reconciliation process for us to God? God. Did God do anything wrong? Did God cause that separation? But yet, who took the initiative to bring us back? He didn't wait for us to one day wake up and say, hey, you know what? No. Paul says it there in Romans that while we are still sinners, what did Jesus do? Died for us. The purpose of peacemaking is to bring reconciliation between us and God. That's the type of Lord that we serve. He doesn't say, hey, you got to do this, this, and this before I even think about bringing you peace. I want to bring you peace. I'm starting the process off. I've done the work through my son, Jesus Christ. You just have to take and believe in it now. Put your faith in him. I've done everything there for you. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Jesus reminds us that peace between God and humankind is not peace at any price. He's not saying to compromise, but he's saying that we can have peace with him and in him. Jesus does say, though, there's only one way to get and start this peace. Luke 13:3 says, unless you repent, you too will all perish. Jesus said those words, unless we repent, there is no peace. And true repentance is more than just asking for forgiveness. Again, it goes into that striving to live a holy life, turning away from sin. Simply asking for forgiveness does not bring complete peace. It's the start of the process. Just like it's the start of a relationship, it's the start of experiencing the true peace that we can have in Christ. The purpose of peacemaking is to reconcile us and others. The purpose of peacemaking is to bring reconciliation between us and others. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. These were the opening words of what's considered to be one of the best known prayers of St. Francis of Assisi. The prayer goes on to say, where there is hate, may I bring love. Where there is offense, may I bring pardon. And this is the ultimate purpose of peacemakers, to show love and compassion. And then we have the promise of peacemaking. The promise of peacemaking. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. The promise of peacemaking is made to those who work for peace. The promise that we're going to be talking about in there being a peacemaker is made to those who work for peace. Jesus tells his followers, Blessed are the peacemakers. The kind of peace he is talking about does not just simply happen. It doesn't go like, poof, okay, you can have peace. You know, we often ask God to help us in our heart. How many times have we asked God, you know, give me a more loving heart. Give me a heart of peace, or something along those lines. But it takes work on our part to develop what God is trying to give us. Am I correct? All right? Does God just say, okay, poof, you got a loving heart now. You're just going to love anybody and everybody, every situation. No. It's a process of him letting him work in our life. It's a process of letting him touch us. And peacemakers do more than just dream of peace. They roll up their sleeves, get involved in the difficulties of life, and they make peace happen. In other words, we experience the peace of Christ within us in our salvation. We know somebody that is not experiencing that peace. Somebody who maybe has not accepted Christ, or they've walked away, or there's that separation in their relationship. What are we called to do as peacemakers? To show them and talk to them about Christ, to bring them in the direction of experiencing that peace. Am I wrong? It's about taking the initiative and going out and taking part in winning people to Christ. And the promise of peacemaking is a promise of happiness. Jesus promised, blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers are going to be blessed. And what does it say there that they will be known as? Children of God. Notice it's not saying that Jesus or God is going to call us his children. Let me explain what I'm talking about here. The promise of peacemaking is a promise of being known as a children of God. In other words, people are going to look at us and see God in us. People are going to look at us and see Christ in us. How many times have we heard mother like daughter, or son like father, or the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree? Okay? When we truly are striving to show peace, people are going to see Christ in us. Notice I didn't say everybody. But people will see Christ in us. People will see us in striving in our relationship with Christ. We are called to be peacemakers. But first we have to ask ourselves, are we at peace with Christ? Have we begun that relationship? Have we asked Jesus for salvation? The second question has to be this. If I've accepted Christ as my Savior, am I striving in holiness to walk with him? Am I striving to do those beatitudes that we've been talking about, what he's called us to do, before I can even be a peacemaker? Am I looking at my own life and doing what he's called me to do? The third question is going to be this. Now that I am doing those things or striving to be those things, am I going to get my hands dirty and go talk to people about him? Am I going to go show and try to bring the peace that I'm experiencing or that we are experiencing to those who maybe aren't, and to those that maybe it's going to be a little tough job to do? Because we know that some people that won't listen to us. There's going to be people who make fun of us. Did Jesus have people that made fun of him? Did it stop him from going out and telling people about who he is? Then why do we let it stop us? I know we're not Christ. I get that. You know, it's hard. Nobody said being a peacemaker was going to be easy. Nobody said that following Christ was going to be easy. We're just simply going to be known as his children. In a few moments, we're going to take communion and remember what Christ has done for us. And I want to read for us from Matthew real quick. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup when he had given thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Now that night, the disciples, of course, didn't understand everything that Jesus was saying, especially in those words. And there's still a mystery to us in a way as well. But we know that the bread and the wine, juice, signify, point to the suffering that Christ took on the cross for us. His body broken, his blood shed for one reason: to bring us peace, to bring us salvation, so we could come to him and ask him for forgiveness of sin, be promised that, and start that relationship of striving to let him make us holy. Body of Christ broken for us. Take and eat. And the blood of Christ shed for us. Take and drink.
Would you stand, please? We're going to sing just a simple little chorus that I'm going to give you the words for. It's very repetitious, so it's easy. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. My heart sings this song again. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. My heart sings this song again. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Sing it again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. My heart sings this song again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. One more time. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. My heart sings this song again. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Father, we can never thank you enough for what you did for us. Thank you for reminding us today in a very powerful way, again, what you've done for us. Thank you for the blood that was shed, for the resurrection that gives us life in Jesus. Thank you, Father. I pray your blessing upon each person here today. Go with us as we go our separate ways, Father. Keep us in your will. And walking in your way, in Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed day.